Great to have Pup back with us in India this morning. Loz with me, of course, and Adam Pengilly of the Sydney Morning Herald, who's here to cover the LIV tournament here with us as well. How are we, boys?
Morning, Middo. Morning, Loz. Morning, everyone. It's quite surreal being here, isn't it, Middo? Nice and early in the morning, watching the sun rise and the darkness disappearing away and all these greenskeepers beavering away. It's going to be a scene this afternoon. Let me give you the tip. I was here last year for the first time LIV Golf played in Adelaide, and they had about 25,000 people a day come through the gates, and it was just manic. Like, the atmosphere is crazy. And the one thing you don't realise is, Loz, is the music. The music, you can hear it from 300 or 400 metres away before you even walk in the gates. It's just pumping all day.
Well, the thing that you showed me last night was before they walk onto the party hole, the tunnel that they walk down and how it works. It's like walking through a disco.
You're like a rock star almost, walking onto stage. Like, you walk through, like, all these LED screens, these, like, tunnel and lights and everything like that, and all the guys have to nominate a walk-on song so they can play their own walk-on song when they get to the tee on the 12th hole, and the crowd there is just, can I put it this way, they'll be loose. They'll be loose for most of the afternoon, and it's a great party vibe. It's a great atmosphere there. It's just fantastic to watch. I think Phil Mickelson played, what was his song last year? He had Eminem. Lose Yourself. So he played Lose Yourself. And you actually listen to the lyrics about trying to prove people wrong. Yeah. He did it for a reason last year, Phil. He was clever.
Pup, India, how's it treating you?
So far, so good, buddy. Got to say, I think I've been here for 3.5 weeks. I'm ready to come home. It's the simple things. I feel like it's been so nice for me to travel again and get back involved with a bit of the cricket. I really enjoyed the PSL over in Pakistan. And this tournament, it's, you know, we're sitting here talking about LIV Golf and how far that has come. You know, sport in Australia is at an all-time high, in my opinion. Just across all different formats, all different codes, we're seeing, you know, so many people turn up and watch sport and support it. And India's no different, buddy, to be honest. This IPL is phenomenal. The support around it, the entire country. And they've got elections on over here at the moment. So that in itself creates chaos in India. Then add the IPL junket onto it. And, mate, you just don't want to drive anywhere. A 10-minute drive now is you're sitting in traffic for somewhere, you know, between an hour and a half to get there, because there's just so many people in and around airports, sporting venues, whatever city the major games are in. It's complete chaos. I'd like to say organised chaos, but not so much. The cricket's been competitive. We've seen some of the Aussies do unbelievably well, which has been a great sign. I think Marcus Stoinis making a brilliant 100 the other night will do his chances of being a part of that World Cup campaign a lot of justice. Paddy Cummins has been doing really well. Travis Head, wow. A couple of his innings have been absolutely phenomenal. And then we've had some injuries. Mitch Marsh, hamstring, which is a worry leading into the World Cup. David Warner with his hand. He's out injured at the moment, as I spoke about earlier. There's been a lot of talk in the media over here, and I see back in Australia as well about Davey Warner. Has he been dropped? Has Ricky Ponting, as Delhi coach, dropped him? And is he out of the, you know, World Cup contention? But I saw him yesterday in the gym. He's 100% injured with that hand injury, and he's hoping to be back in a couple of games or in a couple of weeks' time. But whether that means he flies home and misses the rest of the IPL or stays and tries to get some cricket before the World Cup, who knows? But, mate, I've enjoyed it. It's been great. I've only got another week here, and I'll be back with you boys. And to be honest, I can't wait. I do miss Australia.
And you'll be missing LIV too. Can't wait to be. We'll see how it all unfolds here today as more and more people just arrive here at the Grange.
Just some people here already, isn't there? Unbelievable.
And we're still 4 hours from the first tee shot.
Yeah. and a lot of people asking about betting on the tournament. As I mentioned earlier, it depends what jurisdiction you're a TAB customer in. Unfortunately, in New South Wales, we haven't been given approval to bet on the LIV tournament. If you're a Queensland TAB customer, stacks of markets there. And John Rahm's the favourite at $8.50. Cameron Smith at $9. Joaquin Neiman, who was the Australian Open champion, of course, wasn't he, Adam? at $10. Bryson DeChambeau, who was good early in the Masters, at $12. Tyrrell Hatton, Taylor Gooch, $15 each at two. But, you know, you just look down this list and Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Sergio Garcia, you know, Patrick Reed, even though he's a divisive figure in the game. But to have these names here.
Yeah, it's a fantastic lineup, Mido. And last year showed that how much Australian fans have been starved of watching, like, legitimately world-class golfers. And when you bring a tournament like this to this country, and you bring these guys down to our shores to play, people are going to go out and watch it and support it. It doesn't matter who it is, whether they're American, Spanish, you know, Chilean, whatever. They're going to want to watch them.
Mido and I discussed this early this morning in the cab coming out here to the course about how many people have travelled interstate. Just going on the people that we met yesterday, there was people from Brisbane, there was people from Sydney, obviously. I was going to my room last night. I ran into a couple from Tasmania
Wow.
who were in a group that have just all travelled over. And some of those have been last year, came last year, some first time. And the other one was kids.
Yeah.
Little kids. And I know golf is like all sports, you're scrambling for people to play and you want that injection of young kids coming through, supporting and playing. And I get the sense that kids will fall in love with this. And the couple that we sat next to after dinner last night, they had their two little kids there. They both play golf, but they're very excited. They came down last year, loved it, wanted to come back. So the family brought them back again this year.
Well, South Australia took a risk, Loz, because Peter Malinauskas, the Premier, put his money where his mouth was and was virtually the first one anywhere in the world to offer LIV Golf money to bring a tournament to his city. And LIV were trying to figure out where the schedule was going to be, which places around the world they'd go to, and they're weighing up all these different places. But he actually said, you know what, I'll pay you to come to Adelaide. And I reckon it's paid off tenfold.
So I know last year they were worried about a bit of fatigue because of Gather Round being quite close to it as well. But no issues there. Yeah, based on, you know, the amount of people we've seen that's flown in from interstate. We're going to talk some footy shortly after the break, but Loz, the multi and what you've sprung up for us today. And by the way, you've got to give us some mail surely on Foxy Cleopatra in the Queen of the South
and
Morphettville tomorrow.
I'm not going to give any mail at all because every time I give mail, I get criticised.
Just so let her run. Just let her run, Loz.
So I'm going to keep it nice and tight.
Okay.
And not give people ammunition for what I say, and then if it comes back to bite me on the ass, I get in trouble.
Okay.
All right? I get the blame for it. So
she's race six, number
nine.
She's
not going to race,
isn't she?
She's not racing well enough to tip her there.
Okay. Yeah? Race six, number nine in Adelaide tomorrow. $13 with tab as well. So here in Adelaide for the Queen of the South Stakes, race six, number nine is Foxy, but the multi. Which is at Rose Hill tomorrow, isn't it? We're racing.
Yep.
So what have you got for us, Loz?
Sydney Race 3, number 7, Green Shadows to run top 2. Into Race 8, number 4, Waterford to run top 4.
$6. Tab app, tab website. Click on sports. Today's offers. 3 games of footy on Anzac Day yesterday in the NRL and the Titans getting their first win of the season. Des Hasler, his first win as Titans coach. 27-24 across the ditch against the Warriors. The Roosters 60-18 over the Dragons. And another big score with the Melbourne Storm racking up 54 points. 54-20 over Souths last night. Adam Pengilly. From the Sydney Morning Herald, joining us here at the Grange Golf Club in Adelaide this morning. But where do we start with the Storm Bunnies? Well, the Storm, firstly, got to be premiership contenders now, don't they, Adam?
Oh, have to be, Mido. And they're probably the one team that has shown a bit of consistency throughout the first 7 or 8 weeks of the season, albeit, as Loz and I think had discussed last week, I don't think they've really hit their straps or their stride, but... Yeah, some of their attacking play last night, Loz, was just fantastic. You got wingers like Xavier Coates who can score tries from nothing. Munster was absolutely fantastic last night. And Harry Grant's always scheming around the middle of the ruck. So they just do it so well, don't they, Loz? They set up their season in the first couple of months, get all these wins on the board, and then they can sort of plot their way to the finals after that and through Origin.
Well, it helps so much because you know they're going to have a number of players involved in State of Origin. So when you start the season as well as they have, you can rest some of those key men during the Origin period. So you come out of that and hopefully they're not as fatigued as some of the other players in the comp. And that just builds their momentum at the back end of the year. But they're building nicely the Storm because I've sort of had the Storm and the Sharks sort of similar. I've always, the last couple of years, I think they just play consistent football throughout the season, but when they get to the finals, they can't go to that next level. But the Storm this year, and to a certain degree, the Sharks actually, they're moving the ball and they're playing a bit more expansive football, and it's sort of building nicely. And I think the Storm in particular, it's been clunky, clunky, clunky. They hit a bit of a rhythm last night. And if this is the standard and the way they're going to play moving forward, then I've got to change my opinion of them, because I think they have got that X factor now. And I think, you know, with the lineup they have, if they're all fit and firing, I think they can challenge the better teams in the comp.
Adam, I was going to ask in regards to the Rabbitohs, and I know it's, you know, they've had a week out of the media, thank God. But how do you change things when they're so bad now without sacking the coach? It seems to be so much talk about that. And I just from experience, when the media get hold of something, they do not let it go until that change happens. It seems like there's just there's not going to be a full stop in regards to South until they change their coach.
Yeah, you're right in some respects saying that, Clarkey, but the reality is that South are they're a big club. They're a massive club. We know that. And there's going to be probably extra media scrutiny or a spotlight on that club just because of who they are, right? And the club that it is, the brand that it is, the people involved. I don't know what they do, to be honest, because if they get rid of Jason Demetrio in the next week or two, is that really going to improve their fortunes for the rest of the year? Like, who do they bring in? I think Mal Meninga's completely off the table now, you'd have to say, Loz. I think that's probably fair to say that Mal probably won't be part of that discussion anymore. So what do? Do they just go to a David Ferner or a Ben Hornby, one of the two assistants? Like, is that really going to improve their current plight? Like, I don't know. Like, you see Jason's trying things. He's dropped one or two guys. And the most interesting thing for me is when Latrell comes back.
Yeah.
He's got one more game to serve with this suspension. Is he going to play at fullback? Is he going to play in the centres? What are they going to do with him?
Well, I think you've got to keep young Gray there. Well,
a little
now
bit,
that, now that you've given him an opportunity, and the little bits that I've seen of him.
He's looked okay.
Yeah. And I think he's worth persevering with.
Yeah, yeah.
And then where do you go? Put Jack?
Good question. Do you play him in the halves with Cody?
And the other one is when Campbell Graham comes back in. If Jack and Latrell are playing really well in the centres, well, Campbell Graham comes back in the centres, what do you then do with one of them?
Yeah.
So you've got to, I think if you go Latrell in the centres, I think the next move is Jack to 5'8".
Has to be, doesn't it? The one thing I'll say about the coach is, like, we've seen it a number of times in NRL over many, many years now, when you get rid of your coach mid-season, like, how often does it actually improve your fortunes for the rest of that year? Like, honestly, does it actually improve the fortunes? Do we see many rapid turnarounds? I can't think of too many off the top of my head in the last 5 to 10 years where a coach has left mid-season and all of a sudden the team just clicked straight away and really improved their fortunes for the rest of the year. Maybe Michael Potter at the Bulldogs a few years ago, but they were still never going to make finals.
No. It's a long way back.
Yeah.
It's a long way back when you start the season poorly, because the reason you change the coach is you play poorly and there's sort of no sort of sight of playing finals. It's all about just trying to recover and get a few wins and try and build and move forward for the following year. So
you can see Jason's trying, can't you, Loz? You can see he's trying really hard to get something out of that team, but maybe we should be talking about the bigger picture about their roster management and the state that club's got to at the moment with their roster. A lot of ageing guys. I think they're lacking punch through the middle. I think that's the bigger issue, to be fair.
Yeah, I think there's a number of issues we could pull apart, and I think roster management is a good one. You know, the balance, you talk about balance and playing the right people and having the right people in positions, and that's something that they'll need to look at. And if they do decide to pull the trigger on Jason, like, where do they go? And there's a bloke sitting up north that hasn't got a job next season that we all seem to think will be the number one target and will be back at South Sydney next year, and that's Wayne Bennett.
Well, the reality is, Loz, he wants to keep coaching. Like, Wayne's been quite vocal about that. He doesn't want to step into a coaching director's role or anything like that. He wants to keep coaching. And as we know, there's only 17 jobs in the NRL, and there might only be one available next year, maybe two, something like that. So he's going to have to jump at some stage, isn't he, Middo?
Definitely. The other, obviously, traditional Anzac Day game, the Roosters and the Dragons. So 60-18, just looking at Shane Flanagan's comments post-match as well were pretty interesting. He said he couldn't wait for the game to be finished. Says they couldn't handle them. The Roosters, they got some good athletes, he said, and we came back down to earth with a thud. And then was asked about next week, he got the Sharks, which is an interesting one for Shane Flanagan, obviously. And he says, you know, it's been marked in the calendar for a while. He said, I've won a comp there. I don't think they've won one since, have they? Just a little needle there from Shane Flanagan, which will be, that's good. I love that he said that.
He's honest,
Flanagan. Build up to the game next week.
Yeah, some of that stuff he said about the game, it's not as if he wouldn't say that to his players face-to-face in team meetings. He's just being honest, and he's exactly right. And there will be a build-up to that Sharks game. The thing about the Sharks, Loz, is they've been so consistent since Flano has left the club, but I'm not quite sure if they've won a finals game since he's left. They've made the finals a number of times. I don't think they've actually won a finals game.
The last 2 years they haven't.
No.
I know that.
No, so he's probably right in some respects, but the Sharks are a classy outfit to me this year. They look like a lot of depth in the forwards. They'll be hard to beat next week. For a Dragons team that's just starting to get a few injuries as well, Mido, which is going to start hurting.
And the Roosters yesterday, that's a great win for them. A needed win, really. And the Kiri, Sam Walker outstanding in the halves. And the Kiri sort of Walker halves combination, I think Loz and a lot of people have pondered, is it too like for like?
Mm.
Well, yesterday, Loz, you really
half.
Noticed he was the dominant half, exactly.
There was one moment there in particular. He came from the right side to the left side and cut Kiri out.
Mm.
And it was basically, give me the ball. Like, I want the ball at this time. And they ended up scoring. I think they scored a try off it, or he rolled it in the end goal, and they got another six to go. But it was just that type of play that suggested to me that he's now finally found his voice and comes back into that side going, yeah, I want to be the playmaker, number one. You go back to being a secondary playmaker, Luke.